So we were talking about the various growth drivers so far. Now let's try to understand some of the consequences of international business and maybe even the side effects what are there because of this international business. Now we were seeing the term globalization, which was not mentioned anywhere before. Now globalization basically is an alternate word which also means international business. Globalization basically means taking your business globally. International business also we talk about taking a business internationally. So basically globalization is a word which is used normally by government organizations, you know, and a lot of bigger companies which use this term, mainly by talking about globalization as a whole. Now globalization can be seen as one of the most important forces impacting economies. Because of globalization, there has been a lot of changes in the overall economy. Now if you take even in India, there has been we have been into the globalization process from 1991 onwards, and that has really impacted the overall growth of India. Globalization affects different categories of economy differently. Competition among firms to get good share of the large world market leads to specialization and efficiency, better quality products at reduced price, economies of scales and production and technological improvement. So as you see, there is definitely a better quality product, because with globalization, a company is gaining a lot of knowledge, getting a lot of inputs, getting the R&D work which is done by some other people also, some other companies also, and improving the product overall. They're getting cost effectiveness because they're moving to different locations where they can reduce their cost. They also get able to reduce prices because they're able to reduce cost, they're able to, transfer some of the cost benefit to the consumer. Also, they're getting economies of scales where production is concerned, where they're able to buy in large scale, again to reduce cost. International trade is concerned. So all these factors have really affected one of the consequences of international business. Now let's try to see the list of the consequences. One, it is the efficiency and effectiveness, it has increased. Increase in productivity, for definitely the productivity of the company has increased. Productivity of the production cycle has increased. Competition. People participation, decrease in the number of employees. With the increasing amount of technology, there will be some definitely increase or definitely decrease in the number of employees, because a lot of processes are getting into automation with globalization. Increase accountability and use of information technology. Now if you are into international trade, you need to have the use and effect of information technology. Without information technology at your hand, you will not be able to sustain internationally or globally when you decide to make your company global. Now these are some of the side effects which are about for international business. What are the side effects? Let's understand. Negative impact of global meltdown on Indian industry. Definitely, somewhere down the line, some industry has suffered in India because of a lot of giants coming into India. Increase in numbers of cyber crimes. With number of people going international, there is a lot of international trade happening. There's a lot of international transactions happening, which has also led to a lot of cyber crimes which are happening. People are losing their money to a great extent where cyber crime is concerned. There are a lot of agencies who are trying to control it. A lot of governments are trying to put control on it, but then they find their way out. Decrease in the number of jobs. Again, as I said, if the increase of technology, with the increase of automation, there has been drastic decrease in the number of jobs. Increase in the number of frauds. Now, if people are going to lose jobs, the number of people which are going to decrease. There has been some cases where you can find there's an increase in number of frauds in companies. But when you're going globally, you will have your own measures to take counter about these frauds. Both internal and external security problems have been increasing with international business. Further, there's a volatile economic situation which is caused. There's a change in business location or shifting to another place may be considered by large organization. Now this happens because maybe sometimes the company gets into this bureaucracy and they don't go along with well with the government. But there are issues, there are a lot of cases which we find where the company has changed its business location altogether because they have not been able to sustain, or they are not able to come in terms with that particular policies or new changes. Even what example we gave, we discussed in the start of the class about the shoemaker shifting their manufacturing location from China to India is also can be considered as an example for this. Now, here are some unfavorable aspects of globalization in the context of developing economies like India, resulting in income inequality both between and within developed and developing countries. Now, this is one of the reasons, this has been one of the reasons, or this has been always discussed about, that there is a lot of income inequality which has been taking place. The developed nations per capita income is increasing drastically, but whereas the developing nations per capita income has not increased that drastically, because most of these foreign nations who come to India, they take a lot of profits back, repatriation of profits. Large organizations are merely profit oriented and have less concern towards regional or local development. So most of the companies, if you talk about business, they come with an idea of increasing their sales, increasing their profits. And most of the companies would like to take back the profits to their parent company or to their home country. This what term I used was repatriation of profits. Repatriation basically means taking back the profit from this location. Like for example, if a company is based originally based in USA, the operations are from USA, and they have set up operation in India. So whatever profits what they are earning in India, these profits are repatriated, which is sent back to the parent company. So most of the organizations, you will find large scale organizations, they are basically profit making machines, and they are just not concerned, they will be least concerned. They will do something about for the local development, but they are not concerned with the local development at large. They are more concerned with their profitability, they are more concerned with their increase in profit share. Protection based mechanism or such policies are not allowing other emerging countries to take benefit from the export markets. So there will be some protection which will be imposed, because if a particular country has some sort of product which has been manufactured, there would be some protection based, which we'll be talking about later in other chapters. So we'll be doing something in detail in that point of time. Now, coming to the ways in which you can do international business. Now, one of the most common ways, export and import. Then there, with the use of asset, you can do licensing, you can do franchising. And then there's FDIs, which in FDIs you also have joint ventures and a WOS or wholly owned subsidiaries. Let's understand what is this all about. Export and imports. As you know, exports are products and services manufactured in one region but sold in another region. I manufacture goods in India, but I sell or export my goods in, say, Africa, in, say, some country in Africa, let's say Ghana. So I am exporting my goods from here to Ghana. I am sending my goods from India to Ghana. So basically, I am exporting my goods. Same way, the opposite side, imports. If Ghana is rich in say, let's say, seeds, or let's say, pulses. So I am importing a lot of pulses from Ghana. I am buying pulses in Ghana and getting it to India. So basically, that is imports. So anything which moves out from the country's boundary is export, and anything moves in the country's boundary is imports. So imports are products and services manufactured in one region, country, but bought by another region. Such exports and imports are taking place not only on products or commodities, but also in service sector. Trade in service has grown between 2014 and 2019. That is what I have been mentioning right from the start, that service sector has seen a drastic growth overall. Now here are some of the figures. Export of goods and services as a percentage to the GDP. GDP stands for gross domestic product for selective countries. Now this is a World Bank data what is being displayed to you. Now here are the countries. India is over here down. Now this is the percentage of Indian export to the GDP. So Indian exports in 2013 has been 25.43, which was down. Again, it fell down, and if you see, again it is falling down in 2019. So if you see, Indian exports have been slightly declining. Whereas if you find some of the countries like Netherlands, the exports have been increasing overall. Even most of the countries, because overall they, if you see, exports have decreased slightly, but then some countries have also gained from it. Like for example, even Canada has gained from it. So this is how the world export data is concerned. Now talking about other ways of doing businesses, we are talking about licensing, which is the use of assets. Now what is basically licensing? In licensing, one organization allows another to use the intellectual property by charging them some fee. The organization involves there is are the licensors and licensee. So basically, if I am based in say, let's say USA, I am giving my license, I'm giving a different company in say India, the license, my license to use my products, my name. Licensing includes assets of various types such as technical know-how, specialized skill sets required if any, copyrights, logos and patents and so on. Licensing is mainly used for intangible export services. So basically, I'm going to give all my technical know-how. I'm giving my logo, I'm giving my brand so that this company can use, and this company in return will give me basically my fees. Now in this you have to understand the person who gives the license is called the licensor and person who receives the license is the licensee. Now in licensing, it does not require any capital investment or total participation in another organization. By having income in form of royalty, licensing enables organizations to reap the benefit of knowledge already developed and created. It may be considered as an initial part of becoming international for an organization. So basically, if a company wants to establish a new product line and it doesn't have the know-how, it doesn't have the technical know-how, it doesn't know anything about it, but it has the capital to invest and it has is ready for getting into it. What they do is they connect with another party who is already into this business and they try to acquire their license to do business in a particular segment, in a particular sector, in a particular country. So that is about licensing. Now here are some of the demerits of licensing. Business risk, technological theft. Now there is a risk definitely to the licensor because he is parting away with his knowledge. So there is definitely going to be a risk of technological theft. Emerging competitions in near future in the form of technology enhancement by domestic organizations and then its entry into other markets of the licensor. This is a very, very common problem that we have. Is the licensor, when they give a license to the licensee to operate in a particular segment or in a particular country. But normally there is a tendency, because we know that after some time your business will get saturated, the sales will get saturated. So there is a tendency by the licensee that they will try to venture into different new markets. They will even try to venture into the market of the licensor through other ways. Like for example, if they can't export directly from India to USA, in the example I gave you, they will try to route this product through China to USA or through Vietnam to USA and some other country to USA. So this is what happens very commonly. No mechanism in place to monitor or have quality controls. The licensor does not have any mechanisms to have this check. Another method is franchising. Now what is franchising? It is granting or allowing other party to do business in the specific format and a predetermined way. A classic example I will give you is of, let's take McDonald's. Now McDonald's has been operating as a franchisee of the original patent company. So basically what the company does, it gives a franchising license where the company can use the logo, it can use everything, the know-how, and they will sell. In it's granting franchisee for the sale of goods or the operation of the services. Popular methods to start business, especially if it's a fast food industry. You have access to the established company's brand name. Now the company in India can use the brand name, can use the various logos, can make commercials out of it, and they can promote their product. They do not need to invest anything in creating a brand, because the brand is already created. They only have to make it public. Franchising, in exchange of gaining the franchisee, the franchisee usually pays the franchiser initial startup and an annual licensing fee. That's again a small fee which they have to pay for the use of logo and the knowledge that they have been imparting to them. And normally they will have also a month annual contract which will specify about an annual contract fee which they have to transfer to the parent company, the franchisor. Involve upfront fees and later in terms of percentage of sales done. Now this will purely depend on each agreement, each franchisee agreement, what the agreement is. Some franchisees may have this agreement that they have to give profit share year on year. Some franchisees may have a agreement that they will share the profits for some amount of time and they will not share later, and so on. So it involves upfront fee and later in terms of percentage of sales done. So whatever the sales percentage which is done, the company, the franchising company, will get the share, okay, from the franchisee. Now main business assist franchisee in setting up the businesses, arranging raw material purchase for supply to maintain the desired production quality. Now initial stages, there will be complete hand holding which is done by the franchisor in terms of buying of raw materials, packing of making the finished products, packing the finished products, selling the finished products. Maybe the price aspect, the pricing aspect will depend on what country it is, but it also is normally mutually discussed, because after all they are giving their own brand and they will be definitely be conscious that the brand is not misused or their brand is not degraded to any extent. Because normally if a brand is created and it has a particular standard, now the company will like to maintain that standard even in the new markets. So if in case they feel that the franchisee, the person who has received the franchising agency, is not doing justice with their brand, they may withdraw the brand from that person or they may cancel the franchising agreement altogether. Another important way of doing business is FDIs or foreign direct investments, as we know. Now here in this case, the flow of capital from one country to another in exchange of for significant ownership stakes in domestic organizations or other domestic assets. Basically over here, one party is investing into another party, but this investor is not based in the same country, it is based somewhere abroad. So that's why it is called as a foreign direct investment, in which the person is investing into this company and acquiring particular amount of stakes in that company and controls this business also. FDI shows that the foreigner takes active role in management as a part of the investment. Because that's the whole purpose. He's not going to just invest money for somebody else to manage the show. He's also going to be actively involved in managing the business and take important key decisions also. Foreign investments typically work both ways, especially between countries having relatively equal economic standing. Many see FDI in the country as a positive sign and as a source of future economic growth. Now, India also has benefited a lot with FDIs, because when FDIs come, there's a lot of foreign fund flow in the country, which will result in a lot of investment in infrastructure, which will result in a lot of investment in businesses, which will result ultimately in a lot of job creation and definitely economic growth. Another method is also joint ventures. Now, joint ventures is when two companies come together and form a different company. It's called a joint venture. Now, it is normally both companies have a shared ownership. Parties agree to develop or for a finite time a new entity and new assets by contributing equally. Normally, if it is observed that joint venture would be a 50-50% venture, where two companies come, maybe one company is based in, say, let's say example, Australia, other company is based in India. they both come together and they form a new company, maybe in India, the third company, and this company will have 50% share of the Australian partner and 50% share of the Indian partner. The management of board is also consisting of both the people, of both representatives as directors, and all decisions are taken jointly. The profit share and the loss share again will be all again 50-50% basis. 1,000 Indian joint ventures abroad. This figure should surprise you, because there are a lot of joint ventures which have taken place. A lot of Indian companies have set up joint ventures abroad with different foreign partners. 30% are operational and the rest are in implementation stage. Indian joint ventures are mainly in the UAE, Kenya, Nigeria, Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Singapore. This is just to name a few. There are much more which are there in the world. Another option for doing international trade is a WOS, or a wholly owned subsidiary. Now, what is a wholly owned subsidiary? Is in this subsidiary, a parent company decides to open another company in a foreign land. Like, for example, if I take the same example, the Australian company over here will not now go into a joint venture with some Indian company, but will establish a new company, maybe by the same name, in India. This company will be fully managed by the parent company in Australia. There will be people who will be operating in India, but all reportings again will again go, and the control will stay with the parent company in Australia. So a company whose parent company owns 100% of the company's outstanding common stocks, parent company owns all of the shares of the company. So basically everything, all particular control, all particular decisions is made by the parent company. And people sitting in this the branch, you can say, or a subsidiary, will only implement those decisions whenever the decision is made. So again, talking about wholly subsidiaries, again, there are no minority shareholders. Subsidiary continues to operate with the permission of the parent company, because it has to purely act on the parent company's instructions only. Subsidiary may be located in a country different from that of the parent company. You can form subsidiaries anywhere, but normally if it's in the same country, it's called a branch. So normally you can have a separate, normally people form subsidiaries when they go abroad. Having subsidiary may be important for the variety of tax or tariff reasons, because there are a lot of tax benefits which people get through various subsidiary companies. So in short, if I have to tell you about international trade introduction, international trade is not that easy. It's a complex thing. It involves any trade which is done for the purpose of profits, which is beyond the country's boundaries. There can be trade for products, there can be trade for services or anything. It can be in different forms. It can be in the form of, as we saw so many different options which are available to us, right from FDIs, we can have exports, we can have imports, we can have a joint venture company, a subsidiary, and so on. So basically, this is something which goes beyond the boundaries, and it can be done, but through a systematic manner. Now, to close this chapter, I am presenting to a classic cricket ball comparison case. Now, I'm sure everybody must be somewhere connected with cricket, either in their childhoods or now, either they are batting, bowling, or fielding. So cricket has been a part of the Indian people's life. So that's why we have a case study on the cricket ball. Now, we all know that when in cricket, there are different type of balls manufacturing companies which manufacture balls for various locations. Like, for example, we have this SG ball, which is manufactured in India, which is used mainly for the Indian subcontinent. Then we have a Kokapura sports manufactured ball, which is normally manufactured in Australia and which is used for that particular region. Which includes New Zealand, South Africa, and so on. And then we have a British cricket ball, which is used normally in England and Ireland, West Indies, and so on region. Now in India, predominantly we have been using the SG ball. Now we know that there's a lot of interaction with international players what we have. For example, we have IPL in which we have a lot of foreign players participating in as a team member. Now, when this has happened, you know, there has been internal talks with a lot of players, and players are now demanding that why they should be using SG ball, they should be using the British cricket ball for their own reasons. Now, this is where the trade is going to change. This is where now the Indian subcontinent also may start thinking about using the British ball. Because there have been already big players who have already pointed out about this, including the Indian captain Virat Kohli. So in future, maybe we find that we are importing British balls, one possibility, or SG may start manufacturing British balls. So thank you. We join again with the next class. Thank you so much.